McCain, welcome back to America Now. We're here on the phone with Dr. Michael Nucitelli, who is a New York State licensed psychologist, certified forensic consultant, and author of the new information age forensics construct called iPredator. Dr. Nucitelli, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Oh, and thank you, Ms. McCain. And fortunately, it's over an unfortunate event here.
It is over an unfortunate event, and I just want to ask you first and foremost, I think people are really shocked by this one because other than the fact that now we have to be afraid of these lone wolves and sleeper cells in the United States, this man, the shooter yesterday, Saeed Farhaq, he was born in Illinois. His brother, I just read this on Twitter in breaking news, his brother was actually in the Navy and awarded a medal for fighting terrorism, was a decorated Navy veteran. He had a child. He dropped off his baby with his grandmother before he committed this shooting. A lot of people are pointing to the fact that his wife or fiance maybe was the person that radicalized him. So I want to ask you, how do people become radicalized that are seemingly born and raised in the United States and Americanized?
Well, the first thing, I mean, to become radicalized, not to get into the psychobabble that I often have to think about and use, is ideology, is that if I believe in something to such a point that I'm willing to do whatever I have to do. I mean, to me, once again, and I trust my administration, I personally see this as an act of terror. I mean, for crying out loud, they dropped their child off early in the morning, you know, prior to completing this. There is premeditation. So what we really don't know is a modus operandi, is what motivated them on this day. And what really stands out, Ms. McCain, is that this is a couple. Most spree killing, rampage killing, mass murder tends to be a lone wolf or a lone killer. But here, dating back to the Columbine kids, then there were a couple of others. But overall, this really is a rare occurrence to have a man and a woman engage in a mass shooting. It's amazing.
Yeah, people are pointing to the fact that, A, I guess there's only one other time in history, in American history, where it was a couple that went on a shooting rampage like this. And the fact that it was a mother who, again, dropped off her six-month-old baby girl with her grandmother that morning. I don't understand this. I don't think many people understand this, which is why you're on the show. I just don't understand how when you're living in the United States, working at a center for disabled people, again, Americanized by all ways you can possibly be Americanized, in my impression of it, and living a life that seems very normal, what makes you flip? Is it just the influence of his wife?
Well, if I may, and I shouldn't be interviewing you, Ms. McCain, but I did hear that you brought it up, which I didn't know because this is all new, about the next-door neighbors reporting that, you know, there had been times in the past where he didn't seem, you know, I don't know if he was shady or do you know anything about that? I've heard nothing about that, about the next-door neighbors.
Yeah, and we can actually play a clip for you. The next door neighbors didn't want to report anything because they didn't want to be accused of racial profiling. We can actually play that clip for you and then we can talk about it.
Farouk's family lived in this Corona home. The Adams live two doors down.
He was friendly, good with children. He was always talking to our kids, talking to us.
Well, I just wouldn't expect that could be one of them. That's amazing.
My heart's racing and I'm shaking.
Lights were on inside the Farouk home tonight.
Anything you want to say?
But no one came to the door. In the past, neighbors only remember one problem here.
A couple months ago, maybe way before this happened, there was some police there, maybe for a domestic violence dispute. I'm not too sure, though, and this is what kind of looked like to me.
In Redlands, police searched a home records indicate is owned by Farouk's mother. Aaron Elswick says his neighbor noticed a lot of recent activity there.
She had noticed that they had, receiving packages. Quite a few packages within a short amount of time, and that they were actually doing a lot of work out in the garage. And she was kind of suspicious and was wanted to report it, but she said she didn't want to profile.
So again, the neighbors are saying that they noticed suspicious activity, but never said anything because they don't want to seem racist.
Well, I hate to say it because I'm a psychologist. That infuriates me to hear that, you know, essentially it's almost like a bystander effect. In one breath I understand, in another breath it really upsets me to not report to the authorities your concern. There could be danger. There could be something, you know, going on. Two doors down. That's really unfortunate.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's obviously completely unfortunate because, again, they said that they had, quote, it looked like a domestic violence dispute a few months ago, but they didn't want to report it, again, because they didn't want to come off as racist or be accused of Islamophobia or racial profiling. Which is really, I want to talk to you, we have to go to a break in a minute, but I want to talk to you when we come back just about, I tweeted today earlier that I think that political correctness is going to be the downfall of Western civilization. I think this proves it right here. I just want to take a quick little break, and then we're on the phone with Dr. Michael Nucitelli, who's a New York State licensed psychologist, forensic consultant, and author of the new information age forensics construct called iPredator. I'm Megan McCain, you're listening to America Now. We'll be right back with Dr. Michael Nucitelli. I'm Megan McCain, welcome back to America Now. We're on the phone with Dr. Michael Nucitelli, who is a New York State licensed psychologist, certified forensic consultant, and author of the new information age forensics construct called iPredator. Thank you for staying on the line, Dr. Nucitelli. Right before we went to the break, we were talking about how the shooter's neighbors said that they noticed suspicious activity at their home but never said anything because they don't want to seem racist. How common do you think that is in the United States where people are so paranoid of being targeted or being called racist that they will ignore seemingly strange behavior?
I think it's very common, and it's getting even more common. I hate to say that, as, you know, we want to use this term political correctness, where essentially, if you want to say there's a dark side of political correctness, is that what it's causing communities to slowly disintegrate. I mean, goodness gracious, within our community, our next door neighbors, our loved ones, is that we have to, you know, no one's saying we have to take an active role and, you know, go get guns and burst into the house of people that we suspect, but we have to speak up and we have to, you know, call the authorities if we suspect something's going on. It's just so unfortunate.
I completely agree with you. I also think it's really dangerous, but I also know how shamed people are when they, you know, Juan Williams infamously lost his job when he said that he feared every time he got on a plane with someone who looked suspicious. So, you know, there's a lot of, it's a tricky, tricky subject. I want to play a clip for you, Dr. Nucitelli, of Farhan Khan, who is the brother-in-law of the shooter, saying he has absolutely no idea why he would do that.
My name is Farhan. It's F-A-R-H-A-N. My last name is Khan, K-H-A-N, and I just cannot express that how sad I am for, you know, what happened today. I mean, I condolences to, you know, the people who lost their life. I am very sad that, you know, people lost their life and there's victims out there. I wish speedy recovery to them, and again, I am in shock that something like this could happen. That's all I have. I hope everybody understand, and, you know, everybody get recovered much faster, whatever the victims are there. Thanks.
When was the last time you spoke to Syed?
I mean, I spoke to about like a week ago with him. Yeah.
You say he was a religious person?
I mean, you know, there's no comment. I mean, investigation is going on. You would know what it is. I have no idea. I have no idea. Why would he do that? Why would he do something like this? I have absolutely no idea. I'm in shock myself.
Dr. Nucitelli, this reminds me of after serial killers are caught and their friends and neighbors say, oh, I had no idea. I never would have thought this would have happened to him. He would have been this person. Are you surprised that his brother-in-law didn't even sense anything, that he could be radicalized?
He didn't sense anything. I mean, this is when it gets down to possibility and probability. You know, I would think the brother-in-law, I mean, obviously he's in shock. The nation is in shock with this. But I have to assume that, not that he, you know, suspect or had, you know, thoughts that, you know, his brother-in-law was going to engage in a huge mass shooting, but I have to imagine that his brother-in-law, you know, knew that he had certainly thoughts, feelings, ideologies, and beliefs against whether it be the rehabilitation center or America as a nation. I mean, that to me is a stretch to try to, you know, to believe.
I agree with you. It's hard for me to believe. Like, you didn't suspect something, even just one weird thing somewhere along the line. I was talking about even before this happened, after the Paris terrorist attacks, Dr. Nucitelli, that I never before have been so paranoid about things in my life than I am before. I do live in New York City, but when I get on the subway now, I'm looking around to see if I see anything shady, see if anything's weird. Whenever I see anything weird on the street, I'm a lot more paranoid than I ever have been before. Is it reasonable for me to be paranoid, or is this just some kind of reaction to all the news that's been happening?
Well, goodness gracious. I could talk to you for 3 hours about what you just said. Is it reasonable? It's certainly reasonable, but you would not want it to impact, you know, where you go, where you spend your life, whether it be professional or non-professional. That is when it would become unreasonable. But is it reasonable to be cautious? Most certainly. I mean, I spend my whole life, you know, once again, in cyberspace, telling people to always be skeptical, to never trust, but certainly don't become paranoid. But of course, it's reasonable to always, you know, to always be looking.
Dr. Nucitelli, you do spend a great deal of your life in cyberspace and dealing with different things, sort of the gross areas of the internet online. A lot of ISIS infidels and shooters and just maniacs have been radicalized through social media and the internet. And yesterday, when the shootings were happening, there were things trending on Twitter that ISIS was supporting this shooting and saying America's burning. What big of a problem do you think cyber terrorism is right now?
Well, goodness, this is the construct of iPredator. Not that I'm sending you a market, you know, to talk about the dark side of cyberspace, but really, what I believe, and not to go, is cyberspace is becoming, if it's not already, an extension of human consciousness. It is a form to communicate, but we are no longer communicating to one another face to face. So, you know, I can't see you face to face, so you could be completely not only fabricating to me, Ms. McCain, but you may not even be Meghan McCain, for all I know. I mean, obviously, that I'm hyperbolizing, but that is the state we live in. We live in the information age, and people are just becoming engrossed and believe everything they read, see, and hear online. So no doubt they're becoming indoctrinated.
So I want to know from you, though, when ISIS is supporting shootings like this, like they were yesterday, does that embolden other shooters? Does that make other shooters or possible lone wolves want to do something to commit another crime and repeat what just happened yesterday?
Excellent question. The term is validation. What that does is it sends out validation to those individuals out there who may have proclivities, feelings, or a sense of supporting ISIS or any type of violent activities for an ideology. And that's what it comes down to. So yes, when ISIS comes out and congratulates, oh, great job, there's people out there that sinks in to, like, for you and me, we're aghast over it, but for others, that creates validation, and that pushes them towards another step, towards actually, I hate to say this, pull the trigger.
That's very scary. Dr. Michael Nucitelli, I really appreciate your time. New York State licensed psychologist, certified forensics consultant, and author of the new information age forensics construct called iPredator. You can find it at www.ipredator.org. Thank you so much for coming on, Dr. Nucitelli. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ms. McCain.